Happy Sabbath, everyone. The reading is from 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath once again. Good to see everybody here today, and I pray that you know that we are here for the blessings that we'll receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to worship our God and our Savior. Come to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that we will have a time, a joyous time on this holy Sabbath day. I pray that you have hope. What is your hope this morning? What's your hope during the week? I hope it's the same thing as if the Lord just returned to be coming. So I pray that we are ready for that. So let's have a word of prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day of rest that is in you and not man. We recognize your sovereignty over our time and our life. Thank you that we may honor you on this day, coming together to worship thee and to sing praises unto thy holy name. Thank you for the hope that is in Christ and to be with the Savior one day soon. That is our outlook, knowing that our Savior is coming for his people. Thank you, Father, for that assurance. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, what are we hoping for this morning? What are we hoping for in our lifetime here upon this earth? We know that we had the hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And hope is confidence, expectation, a forward look with assurance with the unseen and the future. Paul tells us that the hope is of the resurrection, hope of the promise, of righteousness, of the gospel, of the glory of God. You see, we know that the blessed hope in appearing in the glory of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, the hope of salvation of his, and that's God's calling, of our calling of eternal life. This hope is so much important in our lives that that's what they're calling efforts in New York City this year, is a revelation of hope. And so we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 today. I believe that's where we'll spend all of our time there to see that. We know and see that the church at Corinth had many problems. We read through there the divisions in the church. Sin was being tolerated. False doctrines were abounding. In a strange worldly practice dominated the worship services. Paul wrote this book of Corinthians to address these problems and to bring the Corinthian believers back into line with the orthodox faith and practices that they had at that time. And according to verse 12, you can read it there, verse 12, some believers in Corinth denied the reality of the resurrection. And we have that surety this morning, that promise and that trust that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and then the resurrection of the dead that will come in the very near future. And then Paul spends the remainder of the time in this chapter declaring the awesome doctrine that was in the before there about the resurrection, to laying a solid foundation for our hope as believers. And I pray that our hope is just as strong today and it will grow stronger. But we look at the world today, seems like there's no room for hope. All that is going on, wars, crimes, sin, and all the rest of the horrors that are going on here that modern life brings to each and every one of us. And so it looks like there's no hope for the future. But we thank the Lord Jesus that we do have, that we have the hope right here as we look and read this from cover to cover. And to have that assurance that one day soon we will be with our God and with our Savior. And we have, as children of God, we have a reason to walk in absolute hope that we are, because we are a people of hope. Who are the people that possess this great hope? Paul calls them my brethren. And he is referring to the children of God, not just the believers in Corinth, but all the saints of all ages, and that's you and I today. He's talking to you and I. The born-again people are the people of hope. They are a people delivered by grace. We have grace and we can have it abundantly. Verses 1 and 11 reveal that part of the conversion they're experience. There were a people saved by God's amazing grace, just as we are saved today, from the depravity and death of sin. You can read that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. They've been brought into a personal faith relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that we have today, so that we have that assurance, that we have that hope of the grace of our God. They are a people destined for glory. We're destined for glory to be with our Lord Jesus. And as you read the whole chapter 15 there, you begin to understand that God has some big things waiting for us, that when we will be with him. We are a people possessed with the power of hope and a bright and better future that they have there. Read that as you read that in chapter 15, verses 49 through 57. You can take that. I hope you take it home this afternoon and read chapter 15 there. Well, let's just look at a little bit of there, at 49 through 57, and we'll back up a little bit. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this day I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So we know that, and we see this revelation talking about Christ's resurrection, the resurrection of the dead, and the mystery of the resurrection. See all these things there. And do we have that hope today? And there's many, many things. I was trying to count in the Strong's coordinates how many there were, but the lines get blurred up where they mention hope, so I wasn't able to get the number. But it looks like it's, I don't know, at least 100 that were in there. And then in verse 58, the reading that we had this morning there, the word therefore draws our minds back to what Paul has said early in this chapter. He is telling us that hope that we possess is a motivator to spiritual action for God's glory. And we do. We have to be motivated to work for the Lord. Being saved means we get to work for the glory of God, not for ourselves, but for the glory of God. Knowing that the truth of God and the salvation should be the most powerful motivator for each and every one of us as children of God. And we know that beliefs always affect behavior. And I pray that our beliefs affect our behavior in a positive way. Believing the things about Jesus that are told in the scriptures, about the future that is gone, that will give us cause to be busy for his glory. And I pray that each one of us in our own ways are able to be busy for the Lord. Hope causes us to be stable. The word steadfast means to be seated, settled, and firmly situated. It reminds us that we are to be rooted and grounded in what we believe, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. We are to be firm in our personal convictions. And the bottom line is this: if we have no hope, we might waver in our faith and be drawn to enticements of the world. When our hope is real, we are stable in our faith. I pray that each one of us are stable this morning. And how many of you are stubborn? How many people are stubborn? Oh, it's a good thing in many ways to be stubborn. The word immovable means cannot be moved from a place. Firmly persistent, motionless. There are many times when stubbornness is always not appropriate also there. But in the Lord's work, a good dose of determination is perfectly in order. And we have to have that to be able to get around everything that is thrown at us so that we cannot live the life that we need to do in Jesus Christ and to be able to give our out and work for him. But we know that in that determination, the Lord will not let anything deter us from this. It will be able to keep us on track. Hope challenges us to be to an abundant service. And the word abounding suggests exceeding a fixed amount or overflowing. Are we overflowing this morning with the message of the Lord Jesus Christ? So we consider what we have and who we are by grace and by grace alone. We will be motivated to work for the God. Go out there and do all that we can for the Lord. He abounds his grace on us when he saves us. Ephesians 1, 7 through 8. The least we can do is let our service for him be exceedingly abundant. And I pray that we do that this morning and throughout this next week. If this life is all there is, if there is no hope for eternity and no possibility of a resurrection, all we have to look forward to is the graves, and that can bring people to real despair. There's a Robert Brought, I don't know who he is, but he writes, "If you knew that hope and despair were paths to the same destination, which one would you choose?" And this is what Paul says in verses 13 through 19. If we'll just look at that. Verses 13 through 19. "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. So if so, ye that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, our faith is vain, and are yet in our sins. Then they also, which are fallen asleep of Christ, perish. If this is life only, do we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." We know that is saying there, talking about that blessed truth that we have there about the resurrection, that Jesus Christ did rise from the grave. There's hope in that we have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is risen, that he is coming soon once again. Our hope gives us confidence. I pray that each one of us has confidence this morning. Paul tells us that we know that our work for Jesus matters. We are working for him. There's no sacrifice, no struggle that goes unnoticed if we're working for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to keep praying, keep serving, and keep living for Jesus. What you do for him in his name is not in vain. So we know that if we're working for Christ and not for ourselves, it is not in vain. That is, it is not a waste of time. It's not an exercise that goes lost to us. But one day he's going to reveal the reward and give it to us. Revelation 22:12 tells us that, gives a reward. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Our hope also gives us consolation. Sometimes the road that we walk is hard. Many things and everything that is thrown in front of us makes that road hard for some of us. Sometimes the burdens are too heavy. Sometimes the work we are called to just seems endless and not making any headway, being unrewarding. But we shouldn't really be looking for the rewards that we will get by giving the message and doing the work that God has given to us. We will receive our reward at the end, not now here upon this earth. But Paul offers us the assurance that if we work in the Lord, and we do what we need to do in the Lord, in God, all of these things that he has given to us, especially his grace. And then as we see all the things, we know that we are blessed today. We may not have many of the problems that plagued the Corinthians, but we know that we do have other problems today, you know. In some of them, people are losing hope. I pray that each one of us here is not losing that hope, that if somebody comes to us that is in despair and is losing hope, that we had the answers to be able to bring them back and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our work to do. We can also be sure that there are others who could exercise more power in helping the Lord in doing the work that we need to do. And I pray that we are not slack ourselves in giving the word out to the community that we live in. Are you a person of hope? Are you walking in the power of hope and doing all that you can to serve the Lord? Are you resting in the promise of your hope, knowing that one day Jesus will reward you for the things that you do in His name? If He has spoken to you about something that you're doing, maybe something that you're not doing, or something that you need to be doing, the altar is the place to go and to be at that time. I thank God for the hope that I have. But we know that hope is not the end of the matter. Hope is merely the catalyst that should cause us to be busy for God in giving the gospel message. And we know that there, that we have that there. Some of the verses that I took out of the Bible, looking at Psalms 31:24, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen you, and strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Psalm 71:5, for thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. Romans 8:24 and 25, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, what does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we will with patience wait for him. We need to have that patience. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. 2:13 in Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Titus 3:7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enter into that within the veil. So we know that we have hope in there from the front. As I said, from cover to cover, we can have this hope in the Lord Jesus Christ if we will live daily by the word that He has given to us. And I pray that we do just that each day, to give our hearts as we start the day, to give our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, asking for His guidance and His wisdom, that we may live a Christ-like life now here upon this earth.